Thanks for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. On today's sermon, Pastor Walker will be teaching from his series entitled Deep Rest. As a Christian, your life should not feel complicated. Jesus calls, "Come to me, for all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let's listen as Pastor Walker shares how you can handle the demands of the world with joy and face life's challenges with peace in your heart. Now here's Pastor Walker with today's sermon.
I was lost and left with nothing, but you became my everything. Amen. 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 I was lost and left with nothing, but you became my everything. That may not be the story of everybody who's in this house this morning, lost and left with nothing. Maybe you were lost, but you were left with all kinds of stuff. But then you realized that without the sense of the presence of the living Jesus alive in your heart, it's as if all that stuff just meant nothing. Meant nothing. Meant nothing. Deep rest for a deep tired. Do you all know what I mean when I say that? A deep rest for a deep tired. A deep tired. We'll pick up where we left off last week and kind of move a little further into that destination this morning. God, can you give me, Jesus, can you give me a rest that is deep to help me with the deep tired of my soul? We live in a culture, and we've gotten real good at it, of living in the now, disciplining ourselves, and it's been an easy kind of thing to fall into, to live in the now, to live in the moment, and then to look forward toward the future, to live in the moment. But what if the words of Jesus in Matthew 11:28 really are true when he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, you who are weary." That's, as we talked last week, is a present tense verb in a participle form. Come to me, all the working to exhaustion ones. Right now, you're in the middle of something. On your plate is a set of circumstances that is wearing you out. You're in the middle of it right now. It is causing you to labor to exhaustion, work to exhaustion. Not talking about the 9-to-5 physical work. We're talking about the 24/7, 365 emotional work, labor, toil of the soul. Trying to figure things out, trying to put pieces together, trying to stop thinking a particular way or feeling a particular way. Come to me, all who are working themselves to exhaustion, and those who are heavy laden. Little Greek lesson. That's the perfect passive tense of the verb. It's different than the ones who are right now working themselves to exhaustion. This has to do with something that happened in your past. It could have been 6 months ago. It could have been 5 days ago. It could have been 30 years ago, 40 years ago. It could have been when you were 6 years old, when you were 4 months old, all the way through your life. But it happened. It was something. It was an earthquake. It was a tsunami. It was a hurricane. But it happened here. But the effects of it are as real today as they were when it happened then. The effect of it you carry with you. And what that was at that time was a putting on you of burdens, putting on you of a weight emotionally. It's the passive. It means you didn't load yourself up with it. It was put on you. I want you to look at these. Let's see that. Is that guy right there? Now, don't say this out loud, but anybody feeling like that this morning? The whole inhabited planet, with all of its weights, pressures, questions, and problems, you feel like you're carrying. That may not be the whole planet, but you're part of the planet. And it's exhausting you. This next one, you talk about a heavily laden mule. That cart is so heavy that it picked that mule up all 4 feet off the ground. That mule cannot realize any of his or her potential because it can't even get his feet on the ground to try to pull. Now, he didn't or she didn't load that wagon himself or herself. Somebody else loaded that wagon and hooked that mule up to that wagon and told that mule, in so many words, this is your load to carry. Now, get after it. Heavy laden. Heavy laden. And Jesus said, if that's you, come to me. Come to me. I'm not asking you or expecting you to unload the load or solve the problems, deal with the stress before you come to me. With all of that on you, with all of that being juggled, with all of that strapped to you, you come to me. If he was so mad at us, if he was so disappointed in us, if he was so frustrated with us, the fact that we're still dealing with this stuff, or we still got this load on us, still having the effect of that working in our lives, if that was such a big negative with him, he would never say, come to me. If whenever our name came up, he just wanted to slap some. Or he just wanted to turn and walk away. Whenever our name came up and our situation that we're in the middle of, if it was such a negative, he wouldn't say, come to me. You see, folks, what he's saying in this is, you've got permission to be worn out, number one. And you got permission to admit that you're worn out, number two. He's not the God in heaven who sends the instructions down here and we're just to do ourselves, be working it out the best we can. But he is the God. His name is Emmanuel. God where? Out there? No, God with me. God with us. So he says, you come to me in the middle of all your stuff that's wearing you out. And then what does he say? And I will give you. It's not as if he's saying one size has to fit all, make it work. He says, I will give you the kind, the type, the size, the duration, the measure of rest that you need. It's as if he's saying, I know what has worn you out. I know what is wearing you out. And I've got rest for that category of your life. So let me throw this out. What is it that can cause a deep tired? What is it that can cause us to be emotionally, in the realm of our souls, drained, worn out to exhaustion? Here's one. Sorrow. You might use the word grief, but sorrow. Sorrow over the loss of someone, sorrow over the way something didn't work out, sorrow over the loss of an opportunity, sorrow over the loss of a person, a relationship, sorrow. Sorrow can result in a deep kind of tired, because if it's something that you're really sorrowful about, it didn't come upon you without some steps in your life's journey. And it affects your life at this moment, and it will be hard for you to not think about your life without that particular piece being in place for a long time. Sorrow can keep you awake at night. Sorrow can come to you right in the middle between a French fry and the ketchup. Sorrow can come upon you and be upon you even though you have other clothes on your physical body. Sorrow can drain you. Sorrow, managing sorrow, trying to go on with life, managing, dealing with sorrow can wear us out. And maybe it's something that happened 10 years ago. Maybe it was the loss of a mother or a father or a favorite uncle or somebody close when you were 6 years old or 7 years old. But this, and you've had to deal with, well, why did my daddy get taken? Why did my mother and father divorce? Other families are all together. Sorrow. About anger. You ever put an energy meter to anger? What it just eats away at? What it just consumes from all kinds of directions to feed the fire on the inside. Anger can wear you out. Now did Jesus say, "Come to me, all of you who have never known anger, and I'll help you"? But you angry people, you're in another category. No, when he says, "Come to me, all who are weary." I mentioned this last week. If there was the definite article "the" in front of the word for all, it wouldn't make sense, wouldn't sound right conversation with us in English, but it would be a very strong statement in the Greek language, which is the language for your New Testament. If there was a "the" in front of it, it would limit the all, as if it's a particular category of all within a smaller category of all. If that makes any sense. But when there's no "the" there, it's what is termed the radical use of the word. It's all of every size, of every shape, of every type, of every variety, of every duration, of every size at any time. All. So he's not saying all with the exclusion of angry people, or all with the exclusion of those who've never hurt physically, or when he says all, come to me, all of you. He's meaning all of us. From wherever your weariness has come from whatever has been the burden placed upon you, there is no category of weariness that is excluded. There is no category of burden put on us that he eliminates. All of them. That's how deeply and how personally he loves you. Because he knows there have been some things that we're living out the consequences of because we were stupid. Because we chose in a bad way. Because we were just so selfish. We were just eaten up to the moon. And we did stuff and we're reaping the harvest. And the reaping of the harvest has worn us or is wearing us out. He still says, come to me, you old rebel, self-fulfilling sinner. You come to me. Just like the ones who are being worn out by trying to pursue righteousness. You try that. I'm going to beat this lust. I'm going to beat this lie. And I'm going to beat this meanness. I'm going to beat this. And I'm going to love God with all my heart. I am. And you just wear yourself out by trying to be righteous. Guess what? Hate to be the bearer of bad news that morning, but it's good as much as it is bad. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible is when Paul says in Romans chapter 7, in my flesh, this is Paul, writer of 2/3 of your New Testament, Paul said, in my flesh, that part of me that Jesus doesn't have control over because it's the old man, it's the old Adam that's a part. In my flesh dwells no good thing. So I can keep trying to make my flesh behave and make my flesh want to do right, make my flesh want to love God, and make my flesh want to sacrifice self. And I'd be staring at to the day I die and it still hadn't learned sick 'em or come here. But what he says is, it is Christ in me that is my hope of glory. I can do whatever I need to do by the power of Christ giving me strength. So I'm never going to completely annihilate that old part of me. It's never going to be completely gone, the scripture would say, until I get to heaven. But that doesn't mean that I'm hopeless. That doesn't mean that I'm to be beaten up and always doing the wrong thing. There's a greater power inside you, child of God, than your flesh. And the greater power is the presence of the Christ who hung on the cross for your sins. Knew what you and I would do to sin before we ever committed them and went to the cross and paid for them in advance, fully. And he's the one who says, if I knew your sins, I know what's wearing you out. You come to me. All of you. Weary trying to chase righteousness or weary trying to undo your wrong, outlive your wrong harvest. You come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. And I've got something for you. I've got a personalized, crafted, uniquely designed, specifically for that which you have lost in your weariness. I can replace it. It's called rest. I will give you rest. What does he mean when he says that? The word at its core means exemption. Exemption. It's like when you're in the third grade and you've had a sore throat and your mama knows that you've had a sore throat, but nobody else knows that you've had a sore throat. And you may have had a teacher who was just expecting you to be, or a PE coach who was expecting you to be out there and with everybody else, but you're still trying to get over your sore throat. And what does mama do? She gives you a note. And in that note, in so many words, it says, my child is exempt from PE. My child is exempt from PE. So when the Lord says, I will give you rest, he steps right into the middle of your stuff. He stands there with you this morning. He stands there with you in the middle of what was heaped on you as a child, put upon you as an adult, placed upon you when you were drop-kicked through the goalposts of life professionally, and they changed the locks on your door before you could get out of the parking lot. And he says, you have come to me. You have come to me with that which has worn you out, that which has continued to mark your life from the pain back yonder. I give you exemption. I exempt you from the responsibility of having to carry that stress and that striving and that exhausting labor one more second. You say, well, I wanted my hair color changed. I wanted my eyes different. I wanted my feet longer. I wanted my waist skinnier. I mean, how am I going to get rid of that? You're not talking about rest exemption. What is that, preacher? I'll tell you what it is. Somehow we get the feeling that we are responsible, that there's a direct correlation between where we are now and what happened back then, and it is my responsibility to keep holding on to that. I'm responsible somehow for it. But if by the Spirit the Lord is able to convince you, you aren't responsible any longer for living up to the negative that they said about you, or living up to the burden that they placed upon you about performance and being something that wasn't you to begin with. You're not any longer responsible. You are exempt from the weight of having to play out from under the cloud of something that happened to you or something that you did before. You're exempt. You're exempt, Mom. You are exempt, Mom. Grandmom, you're exempt from being responsible for the outcome of your children and your grandchildren and your children's children and your dog's cat. You're exempt. You say, how does that help? When that drops 18 inches, it helps. You say, but I've got to be there for them. You may just be getting in the way. They can't make it without me. You. Who are you talking to? Lord, try that. Lord, they can't make it without me. Well, I will give you rest. Exhausting emotions again, sorrow, anger, worry / fear, disappointment. Disappointment has a way of affecting the way you look at people, but also affects the way that you look at yourself, and can affect the way that you look at yourself with regard to what the future can hold for you. I'm worn out from trying to deal with all of the implications of having been disappointed. Maybe you're Oh, my goodness. She's got her head down writing notes swiftly over here. But I was about to say, and what if you are married to a disappointment? Don't anybody say amen. Don't preach it, preacher. This silences everything at this moment. But it, and it may not be married to, it may be, it could be a boss, it could be a child, it could be. But do you get it? A deep tired from having to, I'm not talking about once in a blue moon, I'm talking about something that can be a part of your life. The deep tired comes from having to wake up and look at it and see it and hear it. Disappointment. The burden of bearing a disappointment. You say, well, he wasn't talking about, how do you know he wasn't talking about that? He said, all category, all who are weary, weary from disappointment, weary from worry or fear, from anger, weary from doubt, fighting doubts, battling doubts. I wish I could believe. I wish I didn't worry about that. I wish I didn't think about that. I wish I didn't have the questions. The exhaustion of shame or humiliation. Within the last year, it was a younger man whom I have known and all. But he would battle accepting some kind of new opportunity for fear that he was going to blow it in the new opportunity. Now, he's bright and willing to work and meets people well and all of that, but was confiding in me that I'm afraid to, that I'm going to blow it. I just said, well, let's talk a little bit. Where did that come from? You know what he went back to? And it was this giant monolithic pyramid kind of thing in his heart. It was buried back there somewhere. Nobody else could see it, but it was huge. And he would, you live so long with those kind of things and work around them so long that sometimes you can think they don't even exist. It becomes more of a subconscious than a conscious deal. He related the story when he was a seventh grader in junior high going out for football. Now this has been, I'm going to say 30 years ago. But he said that the coach, they picked him out for a particular position. I can't remember whether it was offensive line or defensive line or what, but it was a down position, and the coaches were convinced that was the position he needed to play. But as he got into it, he wasn't able to live up to it. He wasn't able to meet their specification. But one particular coach so ripped him, so ridiculed him, so humiliated him, I guess it was in the presence of his teammates and the other coaches. And the coach was just doing, I hate to say it, but it's true, just doing what coaches do, just thinking that if I tear him down, then when I tear him down to molecules, then there's going to be some great athlete going to come out of those molecules. I've just obliterated the person, and I'm expecting something great to happen. How smart is that? Well, the result, when this young seventh grader was that from that point to the time we were meeting and sitting across from a dining room table talking this through, he went back to that as the place where humiliation and shame started in his life. Now, we're not dumping everything on the coach. There were choices after that, but it started there. It started there. And when something would come up, instead of choosing And he's made some tough choices in his life that have cost him greatly. But he would just choose to fall back. Well, the coach thinks I'm nothing. The coach thinks I'm crazy. The coach thinks I can do anything. And he would just fall. That would be his default position. Until we prayed, and I just felt like the Lord was it wasn't just that he was messing up, but there was a foul spirit of darkness that had become to work at that place of agreement where he had begun to agree with the enemy more than the agreement of the Lord. And it started when he was just a kid, and Satan built a major stronghold in his life that influenced his thinking. And led him through a prayer of confession. He knew the Lord, knows the Lord, loves the Lord. But that was paralyzing him. Shame was paralyzing him. Shame was shutting him down. And he would fight with it, struggle with it, try to resist it, try to go on. But he would, since he didn't really believe anything other than himself, than what that shame was dictating, he would try hard and reach for the stars only to be pulled back and anchored to shame. Until the Lord just, in a simple prayer time, just exposed the lie of the enemy. And he confessed the sin of agreeing with the enemy. And Lord, I choose you. I give this to you. I, in the name of Jesus, I break the power of shame and the lies of shame in my life. But he stood not as a 45-year-old guy. He stood as a seventh grader again in that place just saying, Lord, deliver me. Have mercy on me. Set me free.
Thanks again for joining us today here on Alamo City Church Sunday Sermons with Pastor David Walker. If you'd like to know more about Alamo City Church, please visit our website at www.alamocity.org.